So free agency has been relatively quiet. However, trade season in the NBA is fully upon us. Stick with us as we talk about the Timberwolves completely overpaying for Rudy Gobert, KD potentially making a return to the Golden State Warriors. Cam wants that to happen. And then an NBA Summer League check-in. Don't go anywhere. A lot to talk about. We'll be right back. Okay, so July 4th weekend wrapped up. Quick weekend. Friday's coming quickly to us. Cam, I know it's a tough one getting back into the office for you, man. How are you doing, man? Thanks for joining.
Yeah, that was brutal, but absolutely worth the trip. One thing, I'm glad to be back, though. I want to see if you guys can read this hat. It's my Florida Key West hat. I have this hat on because a year ago when we were recording these pods, I was in Key West, and now I am having a full-time job and being an adult, so time's really going fast. At least I got to be in July 4th in Tallahassee in the recess pool one more time.
Yeah, it was good to see you. One person we did not get to see was Ak. Ak, thanks for joining, man. Still wishing you would have came up that weekend.
Man, I wish I was there. I saw you guys' Snapchat stories and pictures. It looked awesome. I'm so sad I couldn't make it, but the reason I wasn't able to make it is I had to be down in Miami this past weekend looking at apartments because I'm actually moving there. I just got a full-time job down there, so if you're in the Miami area, hit me up if you're ever trying to hang out, get some drinks, go catch a Marlins or a Heat game, really anything in the area. Just, you know, hit me up.
Okay, man. So with that being said, let's just hop right into this pod real quick. Let's tell you the full Gobert trade. The Timberwolves are getting Rudy Gobert, and the Jazz will receive Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, and 4 first-round picks. The unprotected picks in the first are 23, 25, 27, as well as a swap pick in 26 and a top 4 protected in 29, man. Man, why did this happen? Kim, I'll throw this to you. What are your initial reactions after you saw this Gobert trade, man?
Hey, well, I mean, the Jazz could win if that sixth grader they took in 2029 turns out to be the guy. But other than that, I think this is a terrible trade for the Jazz. I mean, for the Timberwolves, because trading for Rudy Gobert, I'm not sure how that's going to work with Karl Anthony Towns. We've seen some Twin Towers work in the past in the regular season when DeMarcus Cousins and AD teamed up in New Orleans, but those guys could both shoot. Rudy Gobert can't make a shot outside the paint. I think that's really going to mess up the spacing. And I do think it's going to stunt the growth of Anthony Edwards coming into his own as an all-star teammate. And I think when you have young superstars like that, you want to surround them with other young talent that fits their timeline, like they did signing Kat to the Supermax, because you're going to sign Anthony Edwards to that extension too. I don't think this move fits their timeline very well.
Yeah, if you're the Timberwolves, your thinking is, you know what, screw it, we'll trade all these picks, and it doesn't matter because we'll be good for the next 4 or 5 years, and those picks will be in the 20s. Well, actually, that's not true. If any sane person is thinking what they're thinking, it's that it's a dangerous road when you start kicking picks later down the road. You don't know what type of team you're going to be in 5 years. If you learned anything as of recent, it's that you have no clue what your stars or role players or who will still be there in that amount of time. That's what Houston did when they traded for Russ. They gave a ton of picks. That's what the Nets did when they traded for Harden. They gave a ton of picks thinking it doesn't matter. Those picks won't matter. We will still be good contenders. Those picks will be in the 20s, man. Ak, talk to me about that.
Yeah, I like this trade for the Jazz a lot. They got some really good picks. There's no guarantee the Timberwolves will be that good. I will say, Cam, I don't think the spacing will be that bad because Kat is more of a shooter than a post player. So I think that kind of yin and yang with Gobert's inside skills and Kat's outside skills, I think that'll be an okay match. I don't think it'll be too bad. And obviously, you got your offensive engines in Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. And then it's going to be interesting to see Jaden McDaniels at the small forward position because he's played a lot of power forward and a lot of center in his career. He's a bigger dude, not super athletic, so I'm interested to see what they see there.
Cam, can you sit here right now and tell me they're going to win a first-round series next year?
I'm going to say no. And, I mean, it's definitely possible. It depends on the matchup. But I don't see them beating a healthy Denver squad, number one. I don't see them beating a healthy Clipper squad this year if Kawhi comes back to what he used to be. We don't know what's going to happen with the Lakers, but you have to think they always, you never count them out as long as you have LeBron on your team, especially with the Kyrie rumors whistling around. I mean, I don't, it just, it depends on the matchup, but if a blank reaction, I'm going to go no.
Aaron, I saw you shaking your head, man. Let's say they do make it to the second round and they kind of compete. They don't make the Western Conference finals, but they go six in the second round. Is that worth Gobert in the six picks?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at this at a sliding scale, right? It's not a black or white. You're not either going to win the chip or not win the chip. There's levels, different levels of success. And I think that the what the Wolves are doing here is saying, instead of having a smaller percent chance for a number of years, we want to go with a bigger percent chance for a short number of years, kind of focus on the here and now. So in all, I don't think it really affects their total chances, say the next 6 years of winning exactly one ring. Definitely makes them better now. But you know, I'm not really sure. I think it's going to be interesting to see play out. I don't really know for sure on this one.
Okay. So here's some more Gobert stuff that I think is important. He's 30 years old and he's been to the second round in the playoffs three times. Now Utah has last five out of the last six times they've been in the playoffs. He's a three-time All-Star, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, one-time second-team All-NBA, three-time third-team All-NBA. Utah is 13-21 in their last 34 playoff games. He kind of got played off the floor by guards, friend of the podcast and guest Terrence Mann, Luka Doncic, and Jalen Brunson, man. If I'm paying somebody, we got to become an immediate finals contender. That's the barometer for all of this stuff. My question to you, Ak, is how do you think Rudy Gobert will age as he gets paid more and more later on in his contract?
I think he'll age pretty well. You know, a lot of his game is kind of not necessarily moving. It's more staying inside. It's a lot of IQ based, which he's a fairly athletic player, but with his size and his, you know, his measurables, he's a very big wingspan, very strong dude, hard to move out of the way. I think he'll age pretty well.
I mean, obviously, I don't like guys that can't shoot. I've made that pretty clear, and I know Aaron feels the same way. But I honestly agree with what you said about Rudy Gobert. The things he does do well, he does extremely well and at a high level. And I think that we don't see him a lot on exactly what you said, like moving around on the perimeter. He's pretty much pretty stationary, and I do think that'll help him. He's got great size. His wingspan's always going to cause problems for players driving into the paint. So, I mean, I agree with you, but worth $47 million in 2026, I'm going to go no on that one.
Yeah, saying he'll age well, I'm not saying he's worth $47 million. I don't think anyone except maybe LeBron, maybe Steph, maybe KD, they're probably the only ones even close to worth that much.
So here's an interesting stat, man. Here are the centers, 30 years and older, who made an All-NBA team that weren't the great centers of the NBA like Shaq, Wilt, Kareem, etc. 2015, Marc Gasol. 2001-2002, Dikembe Mutombo. 2000-2001, David Robinson, the Admiral. 1989, Robert Parrish. That's four people who are 30 years and older as a center who made an All-NBA team. What I really want to touch on is this. What are we saying? And this will go to Cam real quick. What are we saying? Because when Tatum was in the finals this year, and even though he didn't win, he kind of burnt out. He had the most finals minutes ever of a player. What do we say? It's okay. What are we saying about Ant? He's 21. He's 3 years away from even being in a point where he could contend for an NBA Finals. There's no reason to lock up all the assets you have when your star player isn't ready to win yet. Cam, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, Jason Tatum's still 19, by the way, because that's just the outstanding joke. But I mean, that's exactly what I said earlier. I said I don't think Rudy Gobert's declining prime really fits the timeline of your young superstars and that great tandem you've put together in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. Obviously, Towns is a little older, but he still fits. I feels the timeline as far as Anthony Edwards. I mean, we know most players usually hit their prime in their mid-20s. Obviously, I think the freak athleticism that Anthony Edwards is and is continuing his stroke from the three-point line and that his efficiency was only going to get better. I think we could see him becoming that all-star role fairly soon, if not next season. So I don't think this is good. I don't think it really fits the timeline at all.
Let's move on to the last part, which is the NBA Summer League check-in. I was kind of disappointed because I thought we were going to be doing a post reaction to the Orlando Rockets game, but turns out it's 7 p.m. Western or Pacific time, not Eastern, and we're over here in the East Coast, so we're going to be seeing it at 10 p.m. But with that being said, Act, talk to me about some of the players you like right now, and then we'll go to Cam.
Obviously, as a Magic fan, number one guy I'm looking forward to seeing is Paolo Banchero. After seeing Chet, kind of makes me a little bit wish we would have taken him almost. He's looked very good so far, except for Kenny Lofton eating his lunch last night. Shout out Kenny Lofton Jr. Guy's a beast in the post. But very excited for Paolo. We had a very young team, so a lot of guys you see in the Summer League are going to be regular players for the Magic, so be on the lookout for that. Which leads me to believe that we might actually have a really good showing in the Summer League since so many of our better players are so young. So it might be a little misleading. If you're a Magic fan, don't get ahead of yourself. We still have a long way to go, but going to be a very exciting future.
Yeah, some of the better players in the Summer League were people like Josh Giddey. Cam, talking about the Thunder and what you were seeing out of them, man.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, the Kenny Lofton Chet go back and forth last night reminded me of some high school ball with me versus Aaron out there. So it was, I think it was a pretty good comparison. Obviously, Chet's impressed so far. I mean, the post game interview after game one, where he broke the Summer League blocks record, and the reporter asked him, "Hey, like, how does it feel to have the blocks record now?" Obviously, he had 6 blocks in the first game. He's like, "The record's only 6. Like, oh man, I'll break that, but again before this starts." I mean, you just gotta love the confidence that he's playing with right now. But shout out to Josh Giddey. He has played excellent the first 2 games. He had a double double the first game, triple doubled last night. I mean, out of all the teams that are in that rebuilding phase right now, the Rockets, the Magic, the Thunder, you could throw the Pistons in there as well. I think the Thunder easily look the best right now. Josh Giddey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Chet. That's a pretty good young core to build around. And obviously, I think they're in the best position going forward. If Chet looks like the real deal, and if he keeps playing like this, good day to be a Thunder fan.
I still think they have the pieces to get Kevin Durant if they want to, and I think that would be a lot of fun. Just a little hypothetical. I would love to see that. Probably not realistic, but I think it could be a great fit.
Yeah, so with that being said, I also want to show a little more love to Josh Giddey real quick because Josh Giddey is good enough where the Thunder asked him, "Hey, do you want to play Summer League?" And he could have said no. He could have been like, "No, I don't have to. I was a top 5 candidate in Rookie of the Year last year. I think I'll sit this one out." But he said, "No. I'll get that PNR, get that early chemistry with some of these guys who I'll be playing with next year." So big shout out to them. But I also want to shout out Keegan Murray. Because when those 4 draft picks were taking a picture, it was Jaden Ivey, Paolo, Jabari, and Chet. They left out the number 4 pick and added the 5th pick into that picture. Keegan Murray, talk to me a little bit about him, Cam, because he's longer and bigger than I expected. Got a nice shot, and he's not afraid to get dirty down the paint too.
Yeah, I mean, we always knew he could shoot. But he's looked extremely professional. I mean, there were obvious other than Paolo, I thought he was the most NBA ready person in this draft. He's easily the most versatile. You can move him around. This is and he's the hybrid for what every player and especially contending teams look for. Guys that can guard multiple positions and guys that can shoot the three at a high clip. He's looked awesome in the summer league so far, and I mean, I hope he keeps it up. It looks like Sacramento might have finally gotten one right.
Yeah, Sacramento always goes for guards, or it seems like the guards are always falling to them. Act, do you think this is a good decision that they went with a forward this time instead of going with Jaden Ivey at 4?
If they really believe in De'Aaron Fox, I think it is. I personally don't, but I clearly think that they do believe in De'Aaron Fox. Keegan Murray's a guy with maybe not the highest ceiling, but a very high floor as well. He's a plug and play guy. You know, it's clear he's NBA ready. He can shoot the ball. He can play some defense. So yeah, the Kings think they think they got their guy at guard in De'Aaron Fox, and if that's what they think, I think this is a great pick to play off of him.
Yeah, my brother and I used to bond as kids when it was in the summer. My parents were both at work, and we would love to watch Summer League in the morning. It's John Wall, it's DeMarcus Cousins, it's all these guys playing in the Summer League. And then we'd hop on 2K11 right after and play the Summer League my career with all that. So that was great. But Summer League, I love it. NBA season ends, but we still get to have these young guys playing this, kind of being super competitive, playing for their jobs. And what I like about it is we're seeing that the young teams are really putting in work to try and be where the good teams are right now in a couple years. So the NBA is an ever-moving revolving circle or ever revolving cycle, and we'll see if the Thunder and the Pistons and teams like that can join the playoffs in a couple of years. But with that being said, let's wrap up the pod. Let's start these sign-offs. Cam, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Ready to get into this weekend tomorrow. Almost Friday. Let's get after it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm taking it easy this time. I said next 4th of July, I'm getting a barbecue. I'm getting some beer, and I'm relaxing because
you did want to run away to the lake.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Ak, thank you for joining us, man.
You know, Jay, like you were saying, 4th of July, a little barbecue action. My dad killed it on the grill this 4th of July. I got to give him credit. Some barbecue chicken, some Italian sausages. Chefed it up. We had some brews. We had a little salad. We had some Publix cookies for dessert. Just an all-around great time. If you haven't hung out with your family recently, I suggest you do that. No. But really excited to see the Summer League game tonight. I'm thinking Paulo goes for 30, 10, and 5. On about 60% shooting.
Bet the over. Send the ticket. Send the ticket, and then I'll believe you.
We'll see. We'll see.
Hey, chat. I can tell you right now, the Summer League game just ended, so let's go see how he did.
No, no, no. It's 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, with that being said, guys, keep following us on social media. Thank you guys for interacting with us. If you guys have questions for us that you want us to answer on the pod, please let us know. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. Once again, thank you. Peace.